One man says that the silence of the shepherds is the greatest tragedy in the church today. We'll talk about it.
At the time of Jacob's trouble, speaks about the 70th week of Daniel. So the church of necessity has to be taken out of the way where God deals again directly and specifically with national Israel.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Pastor Barry Stagner about the lateness of the hour. God told us to watch the markers outlined in the Bible, and we know what time it is, and it is late. Here is today's programming.
My opening statement was going to be that we live in amazing times. Little did I know that they would increase in the incredible realization that Jesus is coming for us soon. We're watching so many things happen, and we are living in a time where the precursors to prophetic fulfillment, ultimately during the tribulation, are at a peak. We are living in a time where prophecy and things that point to them are happening, telling us that we ought to be looking up every day for that moment and twinkling of an eye experience that we're all longing for. And you know, Dr. Thomas Ice at a conference I was speaking at one time said, "What problem do you have that the rapture wouldn't solve?" I can't think of one, can you?
And welcome to the program, and thank you, Pastor Barry Stagner, for that opening soundbite. And as he said, so much is happening in our generation. I mean, it's a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. I say that many times a week. I love seeing what we are seeing playing out in real time. It's also heartbreaking, and we have instant communication today. We watch tragedies in real time. We see suffering in three-dimensional color, and we hurt for those who hurt, and we also cheer when evil men get their just due. Well, there's a lot of talk about where America is right now, and I agree with Mark Hitchcock that America is fading from prominence and power only to be replaced by global government. And currently, our country is being embarrassed by some of our leaders, starting with the White House. And Alex Newman comments very effectively on this. And by the way, he was our guest at Understanding the Times in April of this year, talking about the globalist agenda. And I'm just going to play a quick soundbite by Alex Newman.
I guess they've just given up on trying to hide Biden's cognitive decline. But I'm curious to get your thoughts. Why do you think that is? I mean, shouldn't they want him to look somewhat functional at this event?
Well, thank you for having me, Allison. Great to be with you as always. And what you said is exactly right. There's always a reason for what they're showing you. And I suspect, I can't prove it, but I suspect that there are forces who want this picture on television screens and newspapers around the world. They want to make America and our country look like a decrepit, dying, unstable, poor leader. That sounds counterintuitive at first glance, but when you look back over the last decade, the globalists at the Council on Foreign Relations, the communist Chinese, the Russians, and many very powerful people in our country have been openly calling for what they call a multipolar world order. Well, that multipolar world order, where Russia, communist China, South Africa, Brazil, etc., will have a bigger seat at the table, is only possible if you eliminate the old world order, the unipolar world order. And I think we're watching that happen now with what's happening with the BRICS, et cetera. And I think it's a very fitting symbol for where they want the world to think of America as being: dying, decrepit, confused, no idea what's going on. So maybe I'm being too conspiratorial, but I don't think the press would be showing this, and I don't think his advisors and puppet masters would be allowing it unless somebody had put some thought into this.
No, Alex, I think you are spot on. I think there's absolutely got to be a reason, and I think that is the reason. They want the world to know how weak we are, what a devastation Biden is, and really how much he's absolutely destroyed our country. It's just so sad to see, really. You kind of have to laugh, because if not, you'll cry. But Alex, what do you believe the G7 get-together is really all about? I know they say economic policies and security issues, but what do you think that actually means?
Well, I think Ukraine is a big topic on the agenda. And I think we're moving into a new phase in geopolitics. Again, this transition to a multipolar world order is one of the top topics of discussions in diplomatic circles behind the scenes. This is true at the UN. This is true in the UN agencies. This is true at the Kremlin. This is true in Beijing. And so we're watching now a restructuring of the way the world works. Now, I think part of what's happening with America is we are being judged by God. The number of babies murdered, the wickedness that is not just taken over our land, but that is being exported by the United States to the world is out of control. And there's no way God will allow that to continue indefinitely. But in human terms, physically, in this physical realm, we're watching really a dramatic reshuffling of geopolitics, maybe unprecedented since World War II. And I think by the time the year is over, it's going to become much more clear what that's going to look like. I think they may very well be setting us up for World War III. Mm-hmm. They're certainly setting us up for a fundamental restructuring of the monetary order. The US dollar will no longer be the single global reserve currency. And so all of this is incredibly significant. It's going to impact the lives of every single American and every person on the planet. And I know that this is a big topic of conversation with the folks at the G7 and a lot of these other international fora.
Again, Alex Newman. And be assured, folks, that the globalists never miss an opportunity to take an inch or a giant leap forward. And I think in the last 3.5 years, they have taken giant steps forward with a White House looking weak and many days incompetent, not knowing how to lead. So bullies get emboldened when this happens because bullies only retreat when they see strength. That's the only thing that scares them. I'm going to play a number of other sound clips this hour to emphasize the points in my on-air discussion. Pastor Barry Stagner heads Calvary Central Orange County in the Calvary Chapel Stream. He is an author. We carry two of his books, The Time of the Signs, A Chronology of Earth's Final Events, and Bible Prophecy, The Essentials, Answers to Your Most Common Questions. Pastor Barry Stagner, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan.
Your thoughts on America's leadership in the world or lack of it based on what we heard there from Alex Newman?
I think Alex hit the nail right on the head when you've got the visible presentation that we're putting out there in the world on multiple levels, not just the incompetence of the leaders who live on Pennsylvania Avenue and operate in Washington, D.C., but on other levels, we are looking foolish in the eyes of the world. We can't define a man or a woman.
Yeah.
We've got all of these things that have long been viewed globally as factual, now replaced with fables. And it's not just things happening in the church that we need to pay attention to, the abandonment from truth, the defection from reality that we're seeing today. The vast majority of countries around the world look at us as foolish. You look especially at countries like Russia and others who aren't real big fans of America.
Yeah.
And they're not having all these things being promoted in their countries or protected. And we are looking at having reap now what we have sown.
Yeah.
You just cannot eliminate the life of those who ought to be in the safest place in the world, a mother's womb, without consequence.
Well, elections in Europe indicate that Europeans don't want globalism either, and they're trying to throw some of the bums out over there and elect more conservative leaders. In the recent European elections, I think they illustrate that the anti-globalist movement is growing and that voters even over there are tired of, let's be honest, mass migration, climate idiocy, big government, etc. This is happening at least in many parts of the free world. We've highlighted two, like America and Europe, but in the free world, people want to be free. Am I wrong?
Oh, not at all. And there's a lot of talk out there, conservative talk and podcasts, about a pushback that's begun. And people are tiring of this, the migrant issue and women being sexually assaulted or harassed on the streets. And the normal citizenry is really getting sick and tired of these liberal policies. And Jan, this mentality that we are inundated with today is impacting much more than I think we can see on the surface, the obvious lunacy and things. And I ran across a statistic this past week that was one of the issues that was being addressed regarding the pushback that's going to come next. And that's going to be a pushback on parenting. We've got all this progressive thinking in raising children. And I think one of the most stunning things that I've heard in a long, long time, it was reported that 49.5% of all school-age children today are in therapy.
Wow.
We're messing kids up. And Jesus, he takes a pretty dim view of causing children to stumble.
Yeah.
So you pair that with the abortion issue, and we're in deep water and big trouble.
Here's the thing, and I'm referring back to Europe again, because they are going to fall for the ultimate globalists. the Antichrist. We believe he's going to probably come out of the revived Roman Empire or Europe. So they may be wanting to move to the center politically, but then they're going to really recognize and honor and receive fantastically this Mr. Fix-It.
And again, regarding what Alex had to say, I do think that we are at a place where this multipolar world order that everyone desires is setting the stage for a major geopolitical shift. There's all types of things that are contributing to this that are happening right now. I get questions all the time about China. China's in big trouble as far as their population goes. And I've read some research that because of their violation of what God has ordained, that people procreate and have families and raise up offspring unto the Lord. And we know, of course, they're a communist country, but at least to have family and have children to keep that unit moving forward. And because they've restricted homes to one child per home, and it's the male who carries forward the family name, which is of great value in China, that there is an imbalance now between men and women. There's more men than women. They have predicted that the population of China by 2050 could be reduced all the way down to 400 million. And that's catastrophic for a country that has an aging population, much like the U.S. does. So everything is moving in a direction of a redesigned geopolitical system. Some of it's economic. All of it is spiritual in nature. And it feeds right into Revelation 17 that there's coming this leadership team headed by the Antichrist. And one of the most interesting phrases within that passage is they haven't received a kingdom as of yet. So I think we're safe and assuming that means there's going to be a whole new batch of leaders. It's not like current world leaders are going to move together and begin this new oversight system. There's some other folks waiting in the wings along with the Antichrist who will be the major players in this final system.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell have on the line Pastor Barry Stegner, pastor of Calvary Central, Orange County, Calvary Chapel Stream of Churches. Barry, we actually carry a couple of your books. The most recent one, The Time of the Signs, A Chronology of Earth's Final Events. I'm not making an attempt here to necessarily review the book. However, it's all about the signs of the times. And I'm playing a quick clip of you here because of the statement you make in this short clip. You are going to state that what set off the latest explosion of these signs of the times is what happened in Israel on October the 7th, 2023. Let me play this clip and then come back and quiz you about it.
At the time of Jacob's trouble, speaks about the 70th week of Daniel. So the church of necessity has to be taken out of the way where God deals again directly and specifically with national Israel. We won't be here for any of that. We are seeing precursors to many of the things that will happen during that time. I think really since October 7th, things started moving rapidly towards what will ultimately be fulfilled during the tribulation recorded in Zechariah 12 to 14, especially verse 3, where Jerusalem becomes a burdensome stone, first to surrounding areas and then to all peoples. And we're watching that progression happen. I think it's possible that the next event that we'll see is the destruction of Damascus, as Isaiah 17:1 highlights for us. And people often say, well, that was already fulfilled. But the fact that there is a Damascus proves it wasn't fulfilled because the Bible says it will cease from being a city. It will be uninhabitable. And even though it's had battles, much like Jerusalem, I don't know how many times throughout history, Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt. And many cities of antiquity have that kind of history. But Damascus becoming a ruinous heap, basically implying no one can live there any longer, I think is probably what's going to be the catalyst for launching the Ezekiel war. It will be that proverbial straw that broke the camel's back for those who've been looking for an opportunity to engage in warfare and invade Israel from the north. And they have the international community on their side right now. So that's very favorable for those who would do something that would normally be spoken out against very loudly and boldly in time past. But ever since October 8th and beyond, this is not the case anymore.
In that clip, Barry Stegner, you made reference to the tipping point being what happened, and most of us are aware what happened back on October 7th when Israel was invaded, southern Israel, by Hamas. Many of the kibbutzim in the south almost obliterated. Why do you think that's a turning point when it comes to those of us who are documenting these signs of the times?
As I mentioned in the clip, I think Zechariah 12:3 needs some attention regarding that question because, one, we're looking at the whole world gathering against Jerusalem right now, and it will ultimately be fulfilled during the tribulation. We've got the positions that the United States is taking. Netanyahu just flat out called out Biden for not allowing the weapons deliveries to arrive. And the White House responded, oh, we don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But all of these things are moving in that direction, much like the Bible said they would in Revelation 1:1, that when they start, Jesus said they will happen quickly. And that word quickly, the Greek word there, means in quick succession. Doesn't mean they're going to happen soon. It means once they start, they are going to happen rapidly. Of course, there's always been anti-Semitism, but all of a sudden, a move toward the ultimate fulfillment during the tribulation of Zechariah 12:3 was launched forward at just breakneck speed. And we've got foolish people chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, especially LGBT groups, which showing the pride flag in Muslim countries is illegal. And yet you've got these groups supporting the Palestinian cause as they see it. So we're really seeing that particular component, which has many tentacles to it, that's moving toward its ultimate fulfillment right now.
I listed five things that leap out to me. And in a sense, we've talked about probably the primary one, the intensity of Jew and Israel hatred, but also just plain the convergence of these signs of the times. And another one I note, the growth of artificial intelligence, just stunning. Another one, our leaderless world. I've talked about that two times now in this first few minutes. Another one is the new level of people calling evil good, that is, celebrating the aberrant, i.e. the trans agenda, and calling it healthy and good for society. And I could go on and on. Those are just five that I happen to list. I don't think any of those five would have been prominent. And I'm emphasizing the word prominent now, say 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Am I wrong there?
Oh, not at all. And Jan, I think that word that you used is key, this convergence, that these things are happening simultaneously. It's not like a single spoke on the wheel is turning.
Right.
To use an adage I think we've all heard, the prophetic narrative is running on all cylinders. Everything is advancing right now. And I'm glad you mentioned AI, because one of the things I think that often gets overlooked is we think of AI, we think of Revelation 13, we think of imagery, life to this image that's man-made. But what I think has been overlooked oftentimes is not just imagery, but the control of information. And what AI is moving toward right now is reformulating the narrative, history being rewritten.
Mm-hmm.
We see so many things that AI is being used for. There wasn't too long ago that there was an article about people in the music industry were calling on the government to shut down AI and its ability to recreate the songs that people are actually singing.
Yes.
And you can't even tell the difference between what was created through AI. But one of the things that we're going to be seeing is false discoveries that are an attempt to rewrite history. Oh, well, we found this and AI reported this and discovered that. And people are listening to these things. I'm sure you've heard some of the ChatGPT presentations. They're well written, obviously, and well said, and very convincing. So if they report, well, we found something that predates the Bible and basically disputes its authority and authenticity, and all of this is going to be used to recreate a narrative that plays into the global agenda.
You can keep up with Barry Stagner lots of places. One would be online. He does a weekly current event update called The Lineup. This would be on YouTube. I'm sure it's also on his website. Pastor Barry, what is the best website for you at this time?
If you're wanting to hear the Sunday messages, it's probably YouTube. And you can type in either The Truth About God, which is the name of our channel, or just my name. The church website is calvarycoc.org if you want to watch from there and go without all the YouTube stuff that they had.
You write and talk about the church as well as do I rather frequently. And I just want to stop there for a few minutes and have us discuss the church today. I'm going to possibly play a couple of sound bites here. They would be from the Prophecy Pros, and that would be a program hosted by Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson, and happen to have a guest on, Brandon Holthaus, talking about these issues. I think the thing that troubles a lot of us would be the silence of the church on a lot of issues. Why don't I just play this one clip? It would be the Prophecy Pros with Brandon as their guest. And then I want to come back and unpack it with you.
Speak a little bit, if you would, and we can keep kicking around those aspects as well. Clearly, there's a spiritual warfare aspect. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Satan is tipping his hand a little bit. He thinks his time to shine is coming up soon. So he's doing this big push for globalism and the almost instantaneous arise of global anti-Semitism after October 12th is just clearly unlike anything we've ever seen. But speak, if you would, a little bit to the question we get a lot is, why is my pastor not talking about all of these things? Not to be political, but they intersect directly with scripture and the end times.
That's a good question. And there's multiple answers to that because the silence is deafening from the churches. They're not addressing him. So you have, first of all, a theological problem in the majority of churches. The majority of churches are all male or post-male. And so their eschatology affects how they see the world. And that's why I really believe having proper eschatology helps you see clearer what's going on in the culture, helps you connect dots, and helps you to be watchful as we're called to be. So you've got the majority of Christians that are totally out to lunch theologically because they think they're either in the kingdom or they're like Christian nationalists building the kingdom, which is insane to think like, right? So it could be a theological problem. And then along with that comes replacement theology. So whatever's going on with Israel is totally not on the radar. So you have that problem. And the replacement theology is just absolutely satanic to say we're the new Israel. And you see this in every cult, right? Whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or it's the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Seventh-day Adventists, what do? They all claim to be Jewish, the new Israel. So anyway, you have the theological problem. So now we want to dive in a little bit deeper. And now I'm going to get personal with pastors. And you know where I'm going. So since the church growth movement introduced its nickels and noses methodology, the methodology that Rick Warren, Peter Drucker, Bill Hybels introduced was a seeker-friendly type of church. So you flip the church on its head, make Sunday morning evangelism oriented, as they say. You don't edify the saints anymore, right? So you dumb down the message. You go to about a 25-minute message, and I'm going to entertain goats rather than feed sheep. And it worked. It does work because you're not going to ever offend anything. So part of the recipe in this Peter Drucker model was you never say anything that would be deemed controversial or political or moral, anything going on in the culture, and you hide behind this statement. We're just going to preach the gospel. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. We're just going to preach the gospel. Yep. What do you mean? Well, it means this. They're going to cherry pick their way through scripture. They're not going to teach the whole counsel of God. And I've had pastors. Well, let me say this. People come to our church and tell me what their pastor said. And the pastor said, I refuse to teach the book of Revelation. I refuse to teach the book of Daniel. And they're like, okay, I'm out of here. We got a guy who's saying they're not going to teach certain books of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And they asked him, why won't you teach it? And this is what they said, guys. Because it doesn't match my theology. Wow.
Wow.
Goodness, so you're not going to let the scriptures speak for themselves.
Inform your theology.
And you're going to pour a different meaning, and that contradicts you. I wouldn't want to be you when you answer before the Lord.
Barry Stagner, your thoughts on that comment?
I love that he mentioned what so many are saying today. Oh, we're just going to preach the gospel. And one of the most powerful verses in rebuttal to that kind of thinking and what he followed it with is that we don't want to say anything that's offensive or controversial. I think it's interesting, and personally, I think this is a fulfillment of Jesus' statement that the gospel would be preached to all nations, and then the end would come. Hmm. And I think that's fulfilled by an angel flying in the midst of heaven, as Revelation 14 says, preaching the everlasting gospel. And within the content of the everlasting gospel, it starts with, according to this angel, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. So he's preaching the fear of the Lord. He's preaching that our responsibility is to bring glory to God and that God is a just judge. And as the Old Testament tells us, he's angry with the wicked every day. This is not popular today because it's not sensitive to the seeker. And I think this contributes a lot to where we are. And he mentioned replacement theology. If you're wrong about Israel, your eschatology is going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And you're not going to understand anything about the last days. if you ever even decide to talk about it.
When I come back, I'm going to have Barry Stagner explain what coming distractions are all about. But let me quickly give you a heads up, folks, because I have a new book coming out in the fall, When Jesus Returns, Living in the Expectation of the End Times, published by Harvest House. And it's a compilation of some of the best messages given at my conference activity here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. We had 23 such events in various locations in the Twin Cities, most frequently at Grace Church in Eden Prairie. And then we've had more in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota in 2022, 23, and 24. And pre-orders make a huge difference. So when retail outfits, both stores and online, see that a book is popular on Amazon's pre-order system, they get on board. So I'm just asking you to please go to Amazon and then to When Jesus Returns by Jan Markell. There's going to be a Kindle and a hard copy posted there. Contributors to this new book, which I've edited, would be Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Amir Sarfati, Ed Heinsohn, Jeff Kinley, Michelle Bachman, Barry Stagner, my guest today, Erwin Lutzer. It has a foreword by Amir Sarfati, and I'm not listing all the contributors because there are several. So it will be available for purchase in the early fall everywhere, including through this ministry. Again, that's When Jesus Returns by Harvest House. I am the author. Compilation of the best conference messages from over 36 events in the very recent years. Some of you have it in DVD form, and now we have some of them anyway in book form. I'll say more in the coming weeks. I'm coming back in a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. Thank you for your longtime support of Understanding the Times Radio. We are now in our 23rd year, proclaiming truth and encouraging you to always know that God is in control. You can make a difference in the chaos we see playing out today. You can provide a good word, a cup of cold water, and hope for those who feel hopeless. All things are playing out in the script known as the Bible, God's holy word. Be assured that Jesus is coming again. But in the meantime, he will never leave you or forsake you. A glorious eternal home is prepared for you. In the meantime, look up and anticipate that face-to-face meeting with the King of the universe, perhaps today.
We have to teach the whole counsel of God. When you have some 8,200 of the 32,000 verses in the Bible, and depending on what translation you're reading, obviously, then have a relationship with Bible prophecy. How can you say you're not teaching prophecy? That means you're skipping portions of the book, and we are mandated to teach precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, in order for the body of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, to be equipped for the work of ministry.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here are Jan Markell and Pastor Barry Stagner to wrap up today's program.
The nations of the Ezekiel War are in coalition together as we sit here today. One of them became militarily active to a new degree just less than an hour ago. Turkey, who I believe plays a significant role in the Ezekiel invasion scenario, has been exchanging threats back and forth with Israel economically. We're not going to buy your products, or we're not going to send you our products and export them to you. And the Jews are saying, well, nah, we're not going to buy them. And they're going back with a bit of a tete-a-tete, so to speak. Three of these nations that are going to invade Israel from the north are already positioned there with military hardware and personnel inside of Syria. Think about this today. The nations that are going to protest the Israel invasion are making overtures toward Israel to establish diplomatic normalcy, or at least some kind of relation. And globalism, as Gary shared so wonderfully this morning, is being pushed on us by world leaders. And one of the more frustrating things I think that we're all watching happen today is this fascination with Marxism and socialism by many of our young people. And let me just say this, and any of you who know me know that I'm always careful to be politically correct. Marxism and socialism are of the devil, because God does not want people relying on the government. He is the Lord who provides. Amen. And I say that they are of the devil because they have no place for God. The government in their systems replaces God. And we've watched this become the preferred form of governance by many people today.
And welcome back. I'm so glad you can join me on Understanding the Times Radio. And my guest for the hour, Pastor Barry Stagner. You see him a lot online, but he is pastor of Calvary Central, Orange County. You can learn more at calvarycoc.org. And he's got several books. We happen to carry The Time of the Signs, A Chronology of Earth's Final Events, and we also carry Bible Prophecy, The Essentials, which is co-authored with Amir Sarfati, Your Answers to Your Most Common Questions, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our online store. I am going to continue on in the apologetics category here for a few more minutes. And Barry Stagner, we were on some church issues when we went into my halftime break. And I want to get into the decline of a certain theology that's really important. But the silence of the church, and you and I have talked about this before, and that's not just the silence about eschatology or the doctrine of the last days, but silence often about political issues, the culture decline. Now that we have a so-called feel-good church, they want to avoid some of these issues, but it is at peril to the people in the pews.
It sure is, Jan, and it feeds into the perilous times Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're watching these things again, like the other things we've been talking about, unfolding right before our eyes. And a dramatic change in the church has taken place, as Brandon mentioned and dropped a few names there of the contributors to that. One of the interesting things about that is that what was supposed to put people in the seats was successful. But we have to remember that as a pastor, as a church leader, our job is not to fill a sanctuary. Our job is to empty hell, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you're only itching, tickling ears and not giving the hard truths that people need to hear, then the implanted word that is able to save your souls is not being preached. The end result will be a church that looks what it looks like today.
Let me just read one email in front of me. I might get to a second, but she says, "Today's Israel is not true Israel. Our country is under judgment because of people like you," meaning me. "You support a renegade outfit made up of lawless people. Ask yourself, who would Jesus bomb?" Well, that's quite a question. She goes on, "Not innocent Palestinians in Gaza." Heads up, folks, there aren't a lot of them there in Gaza. "Wake up before it's too late. We are under judgment because we support and finance a group of Zionists who have no respect for innocent humanity." And then she signs it, "All because of Jesus, Ruth." You want to comment, Barry? I might read one more, but give me a sentence.
There's so many things that come to mind with such ridiculous statements and accusations like that. But I think the primary thing in relation to whether modern Israel is biblical Israel or whether it's just a political entity like other countries, we always go back to Ezekiel 37 and, you know, the dry bones, breathing life into them. But the most important thing is for us to look back in the previous chapter where the Lord says, "These are the people of the Lord, and they've gone out of his land." But in verse 21 of Ezekiel 36, the Lord said, "I had concern for my holy name." which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Now, this was all prefaced with the fact that the nations of the world, seeing the Jews outside of their national, unconditionally covenanted homeland, was profaning the name of the Lord. And it was only in bringing them back to the land that his name was going to be glorified once again. When the nations of the world see the regathering of the Jews, even after nearly 2,000 years, him bringing them back is probably the most significant indication that he is not done with the nation of Israel.
Here is another email. I'm going to read it. I've actually read this one on air before, and it's stunning. This is in light of what we're talking about today. She's going to promote Kingdom Now theology, and she's going to disparage dispensational theology. But she says, your doom and gloom is never ending. Don't you know that the believers are beginning to reign and rule on this earth with the glory of God being poured out on us? Yes, there's darkness everywhere on a global scale, but there is exposure coming at an unprecedented scale. The great harvest is beginning, and we are to be a part of it now. Quit living as though the rapture is coming any minute. Our assignment is to stand against darkness. Get involved in the Seven Mountain Mandate. Christians, get involved in media, education, etc. We all know darkness has covered the earth, but we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Instead of preaching the rapture, start preaching to believers that they can do something for the kingdom now. Start talking about the authority of the believer. We are to rule and reign, and then Christ will come. Let me just quickly add here that because of the sentiment in this email that I just read now, I want to add into our discussion, Barry Stagner, the decline of what's known as dispensationalism. Folks, I'm going to simplify that and call it left behind theology. It interprets everything literally, a literal rapture, a literal tribulation, a literal antichrist. It teaches that there is a separate role for Israel and the church, two distinct roles, one for Israel, one for the church. A lot of people want to say, well, that only came along with John Nelson Darby. No, folks, don't believe that nonsensical, never, ever ending lie, because it goes back to the early church. Barry Stagner, am I right?
Absolutely. What do you do with, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're told about this because flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. We have to put on immortal incorruptibility. And Paul gives us a very wonderful description of how fast that's going to happen. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, it will be in the twinkling of an eye. Then he adds in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will meet them and the Lord in the air to forever be with the Lord and to comfort one another with these words. And Jan, this whole dominion theology thing just flies in the face of the Olivet Discourse and everything that Jesus said the world was going to be like when it's time for him to come get us and then 7 years later come back with us. He said it would be as it was in the days of Noah. The righteous in comparison to the unrighteous will be a massive disparity. And we know how many got on the boat. There were 8 people in a world that was filled with millions and millions of people. Ken Ham has interestingly calculated that it could have been a population twice that of the world today. And yet the picture that was being drawn by Jesus is that the righteous will be relatively few in number in comparison to the unrighteous, not the church having dominion. Now, one of the things I like to use to kind of poke a hole in that whole thing is that according to the Seven Mountain Mandate, the church has to have dominion over the media. And if that's necessary for Jesus to come back, he's not coming anytime soon.
Absolutely. So well said. So I have this article in front of me. It is from the Christian Post. Headline, staying in the vein here of what I opened part two talking about, support for Israel, dispensationalism declines among younger evangelicals. And then the subtitle is Evangelicals Under 30 Increasingly Embrace Amillennialism and Postmillennialism. And let me just say, postmillennialism would teach Christian dominance on the earth. The church will make the world better and better, almost to perfection. Sorry, not going to happen, folks. Then Jesus Christ can return. Amillennialism, of course, as we often talk about here, allegorizes everything. So this article states, and I can't read it, but I can read a paragraph. It says, Premillennialists, which is what Barry Stagner and I believe that the tribulation described in Revelation 7 will take place after the church is raptured, and that Christ will return with the church to reign for 1,000-year period in Revelation 20 before the last judgment. Such a view was popularized by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. Then it concludes, younger Bible-believing Christians would depart from dispensational premillennial eschatology because, here's the reason they cite, because of wider access to differing theological teachings online, on the internet, obviously social media. Postmillennialism is very church-centric, not Israel-centric at all. It's very, very optimistic. What happened to sort of dampen it, called World War I and World War II, caused it to die down. Now it's coming back. Any thoughts you have, Barry Stagner?
Jen, and looking at the minimizing of Israel, removing it from the pages of Scripture, turning it into a strictly political entity, has some major problems. And I think a lot of this is being fed by the rise in anti-Semitism now, playing on people's emotions. The plight of the Palestinians are pushing even Christians in that direction. But one of the things I always like to throw out there for those who say modern Israel is not national or biblical Israel is, well, if that's true, then why is Jesus coming back to the Mount of Olives?
Yep.
If that's true, why is our heavenly home or the city whose builder and maker is God, why is it called the New Jerusalem? It just doesn't make sense to say that these things are canceled out or transferred to another group. And my goodness, if God starts transferring promises, we're all in trouble. And watching all this and this kind of thinking happen has so many problems that are feeding into this social justice mindset, and the interpretations of allegorizing are left up to the reader. And so you can make the Bible say anything. What do you do with Zechariah 14, where it talks about their flesh dissolving as they stand on their feet, the eyes dissolving in the sockets, tongues dissolving in their mouths? What's the allegorical meaning of that? How do you spiritualize that? How do you spiritualize the star Wormwood, which I believe is a comet, making the third of the world's freshwater drinking supply bitter, poisonous? What about this great mountain burning with fire? What about two-thirds of the Jews being cut off during the tribulation? What are the spiritual applications for the church from all of those things? I'm glad you mentioned Darby, because I always find it so comical that people like to throw him out there as the creator of the rapture, as though he's some kind of goofball. But he translated the Bible into five different languages and planted 1,500 churches. This is no clown. This is somebody who understands the word of God, and yet he's the poster boy for the rapture of the church.
I'm going to play one more clip here. It happens to be Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and this is a clip from our Understanding the Times conference just a couple of weeks ago here in the Twin Cities. We've had those now for 3 years at Revived Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Barry Stagner was our guest a year ago. He's commenting here on what is the worst case of identity theft ever.
Israel's mentioned like 2,200 times in the Old Testament, 70 times in the New Testament. I call replacement theology the worst case of identity theft in human history. It's the church coming along and basically nullifying, saying all the blessings of Israel are transferred to the church. What scholars do who do that is they read the New Testament back into the Old Testament. But here's the problem, is they change the meaning of the Old Testament. Surely the New Testament amplifies the Old Testament, it clarifies, but it can't change the meaning of the Old Testament. What they do is they read the new into the old, and they change the meaning of the Old Testament. They change the meaning of the land promised to Abraham. It's just a promise of heaven. It's not the promise of the literal land. Well, look what Dr. John Walford used to say. If God was just promising Abraham heaven, he didn't have to move to Canaan to do that. He could have given him heaven in Ur of the Chaldees. They took him to a land, said, you know, lift up your eyes, look in every direction as far as you can see. I will give that land to you and to your descendants forever. And they've never inhabited that land. As I said earlier, I mean, Israel's the church's greatest insurance policy. Yeah. If God keeps his promise to them, he'll keep it to us. So what it is it's a reading back into these promises. And here's the other thing. If you really follow people who, Jan and I talked about this earlier today, who believe in replacement theology, amillennialists, I mean, all the different forms of that, they don't get into the details. Mm. When you get into the details, you have to make decisions. They just kind of brush over that. And a lot of them are great Reformed scholars. If you treated the book of Romans and books like that the same way they treat the prophets or the book of Revelation, they would come unhinged. Now, they're going to read that and take every word and understand what it means. But when you get the Revelation or like to the prophets, they just kind of go over it in big swath and just say, well, no, this is just referring to the church. And what they'll do so often in the prophets is they'll take all the things that are there that are bad and all the judgments and apply that to Israel. But then you have the passages near the end of almost all the minor prophets that go and talk about the restoration of Israel in the future. And then they take that symbolically to represent the church. But you can't do that in hermeneutics. There has to be some signal in the text that the meaning of Israel or Judah or whatever has changed. You can't just do it because you want to. And that's what happens. It all comes down to having what Dr. Charles Ryrie used to call a consistent literal hermeneutic. It's not just literal, but it's being consistent. And there's a gross inconsistency, in my view, in their understanding and their interpretation of these scriptures, which then leads them astray. And they don't talk about the modern state of Israel, but they have a problem because there are 7 million Jews in Israel today. And it's kind of like, why are they there if God doesn't have a future for them? And I've actually talked to some really well-known amillennialists, and in their quieter moments when you're talking with them, they admit that that's, I won't mention names, but one guy I really pinned down about, I kept asking him about Israel and the significance of it. He said, well, I don't think Israel's any more significant today than Uruguay or France. Yeah. And I said, well, they're not mentioned, you know, over 2,300 times in the Bible. And I asked him, I said, well, what about all the Jews there today? And he said, well, you know, no big deal. And finally, he said, well, yeah, I do think about that sometimes.
Really?
And again, we don't get our view of Israel from current events. Yeah. We get it from the Bible. But current events and 7 million Jews being in Israel today is consistent with what we believe the Bible says about Israel's future. So the scenario as it develops towards the end time should be consistent with what the Bible says. And it's consistent with what we say the Bible says. And it's not consistent, I think, in many ways with what they say.
Yeah, I had a Reformed pastor one time I was debating with, and he ended up talking about the sovereignty of God and so forth. And I said, well, it seems like in the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, Israel's in the land. And he goes, no, they just got there by chance. And I'm going, I think that's pretty inconsistent.
Well, yeah, because all the Reformed people you talk to are the most people who are covenantal, believe in replacement theology. Their strongest suit is the sovereignty of God.
Right.
But if God's sovereign, then those 7 million Jews are there for a purpose. And we believe we know what that purpose is.
Again, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Understanding the Times. We have a DVD of that whole evening just a couple of weeks ago. olivetreeviews.org and go to my online store. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, I have on the line Pastor Barry Stagner, Southern California. He pastors Calvary Central, Orange County, calvarycoc.org. We carry a couple of his books. You can find them in my online store. Barry Stagner, what are coming distractions? You have a whole message on that. You state bluntly what some of those are. Talk to me about it.
Well, I think watching the things that are coming our way, seeing the change of the government's attitude towards the church, which has been happening, especially over the last 3 decades, the church's role in society, its positive influence. There are a lot of things that are shifting. And I think one of the primary ones that is a distraction to the church today is the growing government interference and efforts to intimidate those of the faith. There was on the lineup the other night, in the past 2 years, there have been 10 people who were sentenced to prison for praying outside an abortion clinic here in the U.S. 3 of them were elderly women. One was not too long ago, her name is Paulette, was sentenced to 2 years in prison by a judge appointed by Clinton, who actually mocked the woman after her husband pleaded for mercy because of her ill health. He said, I don't want my wife to die in prison. So the judge turned to the woman and said, you need to honor the tenets of what you believe and not die in prison, making a mockery out of what's going on. And all of these things are efforts to silence the church, to cease our ability to be salt and light, the purifying influence of the world and country, especially here in the United States. We're watching this grow dramatically and quickly. Like everything else is happening as far as the advancement of the prophetic narrative, we're seeing an increasing pressure to be accepting of things that the Bible has forbid. Here we are right in the middle of a month called Pride Month. First of all, pride is a devil's sin. So we don't celebrate pride in any way, shape, or form, but certainly not pride in the sense of sexual preference that that God has condemned and something that's unacceptable to him. So we're seeing all these things that are moving in a direction and increasing in pressure. All of it is an effort to keep our mouths shut.
And you referred in that particular message to some things that you feel are real distractions, such as the blood moons, the whole Revelation 12 phenomenon, and having a meltdown over the recent eclipse, although that was certainly a phenomenal event. It's just that it does happen very frequently. In other words, people can so easily get distracted and major in minors instead of majoring in the majors.
Yeah, we've had almost anything and everything that floats by thrown out to the world as a sign. And when the church keeps making these statements and seeing a boogeyman behind every bush, we're the ones that wind up looking silly after the fact. And there were so many things that were presented about this. I heard that somebody had stated, well, there was an eclipse when Jesus died on the cross. And that wasn't an eclipse. And we know that because the eclipse that just happened lasted 3 minutes and 43 seconds.
Yep.
When Jesus died on the cross, it was dark for 3 hours. If there's going to be an eclipse that lasts for 3 hours, well, then the moon and sun have to stop moving. So it had to be a supernatural event where God created a darkness. And I think the tetrad of blood moons and all these things, it gives people something to sink their teeth into. But when we see the sun become black as sackcloth and the moon turns red as blood, those are simultaneous events that happen in relation to something that takes place on the earth. So the fascination with sensationalism has dinged the message of the church a little bit, and we've lost some credibility because of it.
I do agree with you, Barry Stagner, and I have your book in front of me here, The Time of the Signs, A Chronology of Earth's Final Events. And we've talked about church issues here. We've talked about eschatological issues here. And by the way, I did have a quote, and I think it was from that series from the Prophecy Pros. Excellent online programming, Jeff Kinley, Todd Hampson. They happen to have Brandon Holthouse as their guest. They brought out a Lifeway poll that revealed that 98% of pulpits will not deal with any kind of eschatology or end time teaching. The question they were raising, if they're ignoring that, are they ignoring other things as well? And then I happen to reference the cultural issues and political issues, etc. Barry, the fact that the king is coming is deemed as bad news or controversial news, or again, it might not fill the pews up, and we're a little more interested in numbers and offering, etc., so we're going to marginalize and leave this topic out. And I'm down to about a minute or two, but if there's one exhortation you could give to pastors right now, please take a minute or two to give it to them.
We have to teach the whole counsel of God. When you have some 8,200 of the 32,000 verses in the Bible, and depending on what translation you're reading, obviously, that have a relationship with Bible prophecy, how can you say you're not teaching prophecy? That means you're skipping portions of the book, and we are mandated to teach precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, in order for the body of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, to be equipped for the work of ministry. And some of the things that are offered as reasons for skipping these things, I think one of the prime examples is that guy down in Texas with the warm smile and, and always happy look.
Yeah.
He said, people have enough going on in their lives already. They don't need to come to church and hear negative things. And let me point back to what I mentioned from Revelation 14. The everlasting gospel, according to an angel flying in the high point of the sky, is fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. So you've got components that indicate that our message is going to have some things that people don't necessarily like to hear. And Jan, you've already given some examples of emails. I get that comment all the time as well, that you talk about so many negative things. Well, the last day's prophetic scenario is filled with negative things. It's not like the first time where Jesus came and the blind received sight, the lame walked, the deaf heard, the mute began to speak, demons were cast out, thousands were fed through miraculous means, lepers were healed. I mean, it's all positive, positive, positive. But looking at what the events are that surround the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ are largely negative. And, you know, I liked what Mark said a moment ago. He mentioned to have hermeneutical consistency, and he opened by saying that the replacement theologist transfers the promises of God to the church. Well, you can't just transfer the positives. If you're going to take what was promised to Israel You have to transfer the negatives too, which means the church is going to go through the tribulation, because that's what the 70th week of Daniel is all about. It's about what was promised to Israel. And there's a list of things that Daniel records that are going to happen because of the tribulation, to make reconciliation, to fulfill all prophecy and all these other things. But Jan, the most important thing for pastors to realize, and I've been asked this question many times, and one of the excuses that's often offered is, you know, Revelation is a tough book to teach. Well, so is Jeremiah, so is Isaiah, so is Matthew, so is 1st and 2nd Timothy. I mean, you got to put the time in and study for any book that you're teaching, and the book of Revelation is no different. And one pastor used to say, it's the only book that comes with a divine outline. It outlines itself in verse 19 of chapter 1, and it's the only book in the Bible that has a promise to those who read, hear, and keep.
Thank you for that excellent exhortation. Folks, I'm so out of time. Pastor Barry Stagner, again, look him up online, calvarycoc.org. YouTube channel is The Truth About God. I'm just going to say, on my way out here, will you always look back and thank him? Look ahead and trust him. Look around and serve him. Don't forget to look up and expect him, because he's coming again, folks, sooner rather than later. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Be assured that nothing is out of control, because God is always in control. He is the loving shepherd giving his life for the sheep. He orchestrates all things to play out so that all that is predicted can fall into place.